Oh, and we're back with the After Dark, where Brad and I are going to figure out what year one looks like, because I've decided year zero, it never happened. We're wiping the slate clean.
Yeah, we're deleting all the old episodes, so if you haven't heard...
Yeah. Oh,
just kidding.
Yep, quick, download them. Get them for the archive. No, we're very proud of what we're doing. We really enjoy doing the show, and I assume if you're listening down here, you're enjoying it too, so we're grateful. And
fun. Every once in a while, you'll see an old episode will get a bump in listens for whatever reason. You know, you'll be looking back and you're like, oh, an episode we dropped 6 months ago, a bunch of people listened to it today for some reason.
Somebody's going back over. It's strange because we are kind of surfing the Kali Yuga here. Yeah. We're surfing the zeitgeist, and you don't know what's going to bring everybody back to think about Kubrick.
Right.
And there will always be, oh, it's the 50th anniversary of 2001. Whatever. Oh, it's the 75th, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And
accidentally planned the Joyce follow-up basically on the centenary of Ulysses.
Perfect.
It was like the same week and just sort of happened that way.
Right. Yeah. And he's gonna be like Faulkner, where 3 years from now, if we haven't dropped our Hitler episode, 3 years from now, somebody's gonna want to come on and talk about Faulkner still.
And it'll be worth doing. Mm, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. Faulkner, Joyce, all of these figures, Kubrick. Mm-hmm. And it's funny, we were just talking about this off mic, but what happened when we opened the floodgates to guests for this show, we suddenly really had like a lot of people who wanted to come on the show, which I think was a good indicator that we were on to something.
Yeah, I agree.
It gets people a little zhuzh. Yeah.
And it's been awesome. But yeah, there is suddenly holy moly, we got it turns it into a different kind of organizational enterprise where you gotta schedule people and the collaborative episodes where we bring in a guest are some of my favorite, but there is it's an added wrinkle in the recording and in the process of putting the episode together, and it's more fun but also a little bit more of a challenge, I would say.
Right. Yeah. And sometimes instead of having to deal with one insufferable person on the episode, we get a sec. Of course, I'm kidding. All our guests.
We're the insufferable.
Right.
Ones.
Right. We're the ones who drag the whole enterprise into the gutter. Well, so what were we going to talk about? Production stuff, but we're also going to talk about that. You're going to hint the, well, tell us about that. I want to know about this Lovecraft Burroughs connection. Tell me about this.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So H.P. Lovecraft, when he is approximately 40 years old, he develops he's had a correspondence with this guy named Robert Barlow. And his conversation with Robert Barlow via letter starts when Robert Barlow is 14 years old. Right. Robert Barlow's sort of fan letters to H.P. Lovecraft. H.P. Lovecraft is a famous letter writer. He wrote over 100,000 letters during his life. Anyway, they're corresponding. Lovecraft later in his life starts liking to travel. And he ends up going to visit Robert Barlow, which is fine. You visited a friend, except this friend is 17 years old and you're 40. Yeah. And you're hanging out with him until the late hours, right? Mm. Very, just kind of unusual.
A little creepy.
Yeah. Lovecraft definitely had some sexual hangups. Okay, so this goes on. But Barlow was noted to be a brilliant kid and became a brilliant man. He would become Lovecraft's literary executor.
So the friendship worked out in a
And they were on the same wavelength in a lot of ways. And Barlow himself was a writer and an illustrator. He was a sort of a polymath. But after Lovecraft's death, Barlow would become a well-known anthropologist of Mesoamerica. Hmm. And he would go and teach at Mexico City College, University of Mexico City. I'm not sure what the exact name
is. And I've been there. It's amazing. Mexico City has the Anthropology Museum in Mexico City is the greatest museum I've ever visited.
Is that right?
It's incredible. Staggering.
I definitely want to get down
it's
there.
It's massive impressive. And they have such an interesting relationship with the indigenous cultures there.
Oh yeah. Well, I'm fascinated with the indigenous cultures just generally, you know, of that place. So if we find a way to do an episode about that, I'm in. But
well, maybe when we have our Art of Darkness meetup, even if it's just guests that we've got, and I become filthy rich with crypto, right? We just fly everybody down to Mexico City. Mexico City would be a great spot for that meetup.
Oh well, there's a lot of Art of Darkness there, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's in a way, what I mean. Yeah. Mm-hmm. yeah, for sure. So Barlow moves in 1943. Barlow in Lovecraft dies in 37. Barlow moves to Mexico in 1943. Starts teaching at colleges. Becomes kind of like the guy. Now, William S. Burroughs attends Mexico City College or University of Mexico City and ends up taking Robert Barlow's class.
What? That is so wild.
Isn't that weird? Now, here's where things get, there's a slight different wrinkle. Robert Barlow commits suicide in Mexico City because, supposedly, he had made a pass at a male student of his, and that he was afraid that that student was going to reveal his homosexual predilections. And here's what William S. Burroughs wrote in a letter to Allen Ginsberg. And by the way, Robert Barlow took William S. Burroughs like out into the field to do like, to show him like petroglyphs or something. Here's the letter William S. Burroughs wrote to Allen Ginsberg dated January 11th, 1951, I think. A queer professor from KC, Kansas City, Missouri, head of the anthropology department here at Mexico City College, where I collect my $75 per month, knocked himself off a few days ago with an overdose of goofballs, vomit all over the bed. I can't see this suicide kick.
Oof. Wow.
And then William S. Burroughs, not long later, would shoot Joan Vollmer in the head.
That is a very strong Lovecraft connection between those two characters. Whoa, it's so the dark ones, it's like a story.
Right. What did Lovecraft pass on to Barlow? And what did Barlow then pass on to Burroughs, right? Like, is there some wavelength that's kind of connecting these three figures? I don't know, but I thought that was really interesting.
That is very interesting. And of course, if you know, you're subscribed, so you're going to get the Lovecraft episode here in the coming few
weeks.
Yeah,
we're going deep. We're going deep on Lovecraft.
Deep I am into Lovecraft the dark, held. Dark, yeah.
I am unsettled. I am...
I remember reading that in high school and thinking, I probably shouldn't be reading this right now. What am I doing? I should be chasing girls. And
right.
There was a little period where I remember reading a lot of Lovecraft.
Yeah. I will say that Lovecraft is probably he might be the most eccentric person that we've covered so far.
That's fascinating. Eccentric how?
Sexual hangups. He was obsessed with the 18th century. He would even talk in like what he imagined to be an 18th century accent when he was younger. He was kind of a recluse for a time. He had nervous breakdowns.
I got nightmares. I got his locale wrong on one episode, and somebody jumped down my throat. Yeah. I'm glad
Providence,
they did.
Rhode Island.
Rhode Island. I conflated him with Poe. Poe is going to be dynamite.
Poe will be a big episode for sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
That's going to be a real fun one.
Yeah. No, he's just, Lovecraft is just a strange. He was born in the wrong century. Even being born in Rhode Island, it's like Rhode Island is like kind of like a fictional place. No, who knows anything about Rhode Island?
Really? Well, and that reminds me of that great joke from, I think it's a Bill Hicks joke about nationalism and where you're born and how he's never understood the attachment to where you're born, right? It's like, you didn't have any choice in it. You didn't have any say in it. Like in the Netherworld, I was yelling at my parents, fucking Paris, right. But no, it had to be Houston.
Right.
and that's another thing we maybe missed about some of these artists is that they are out of time and place. They're not, they don't fit in. It's a cliche, but these are cliches for a reason.
Yeah, and Lovecraft was definitely like that, and Lovecraft was probably more nihilistic than any of the other people we've covered so far.
Oh,
Lovecraft, like stared into that abyss as much as anybody ever did, you know, really confronted, like, what is the meaning of total meaninglessness? You know, it's heavy shit.
Oh man. And we've yet to do Nietzsche.
Yeah, that'll be a good one too.
Some of these other philosophers, Wittgenstein, all of them.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. Oh, Wittgenstein's story is wild. I just saw a Twitter summary of that today, man. That guy was,
I didn't realize a lot of those things. They were talking about
how he's based.
Wittgenstein's based.
Holy shit. Yeah, you read it and you're like, who is this? Like,
what? I knew about the poker incident with
Karl Popper. Mm-hmm. Yep, I knew about that.
I also knew that he came from the second or third wealthiest family in Vienna at the time.
And gave his money all away.
Yeah, he ended up in Cambridge. Yeah. I think it was Cambridge. Yeah.
Wow.
You don't want to get that'd that be a wrong. Cool episode. That will be fun. There's so much that we could do. This is like, oh man, when we first started this show, you sort of think, oh well, maybe we'll, you know, will you ever hit a wall? Never. Never.
No. You never run out of people.
We have been hovering, with some exceptions, kind of in normie tier. Oh, I know.
Somewhat.
Marlon Brando. We have an opportunity 5 years from now. I mean, as we go and we spiral out and we circle out to get weirder and weirder and weirder and in more obscure. And I think that's something that we want to do as we do the show. We want to do the Anna Kavan, then the Kubrick. We want to do the Junior Kimbrough and the Tennessee Williams, maybe a little more mainstream.
No, we definitely want to mix it up in that regard. And part of this is based on the feedback that we get from you know, people listening. And I'm not obsessed with the data, but it is interesting. It is interesting that Johnny Cash is the least listened to episode. It's interesting
I wonder if that's the algorithm working against us, because there's so much Johnny Cash. There's so much Johnny.
That might be what it is. I don't know. But it's also interesting that on YouTube, anyway, Pamela Coleman Smith is the second most watched, and not by a little, but it's Gurdjieff a ton, Pamela a little bit less than him, and then way in the distance, everybody else.
So everybody, so maybe we need to focus a little more on the woo woo wackadoo culty stuff.
I don't know what it means.
Maybe we're going through a super bizarre occult moment. The algorithm might be doing it. Man, I had fun doing the Gurdjieff episode. That feels like a lifetime ago.
It does feel like a lifetime ago.
But it was only last year.
I think it was interesting those first couple episodes. I haven't listened back. I listened to every episode at least once. Just
I'm sure cringe.
I want to know.
We'll go back and be like, oh, we didn't know what we were doing.
Yeah, well, that was like, I remember talking to, we had Adam later on to talk about William S. Burroughs and Anna Kavan, and he was a great guest. But I was also like, don't feel like you got to listen. William S. Burroughs is our first episode. I was like, don't feel like you got to listen to that one. I barely knew what we were even trying to do then. So don't worry about it.
I do think that
I think it's a good episode ultimately. Yeah. But like,
we don't want to turn you off from going back. But there are podcasts that you can go back and listen to the early days, and it's rough.
Right.
And the audio is rough. And we've had here and there audio issues. We're getting more settled in, and we're getting everything figured out. And into a nice rhythm and everything. That is another thing about the production of the show that I've noticed, is that a good steady rhythm, even though we can't always keep to the exact schedule we want to do, we want to try to do two core episodes a month. Yeah. Can't always make it. It's a lot because there's so much to do, but I think just staying in the pocket, getting it done, you know, staying close to your home studio. Because as soon as you leave home, forget about it.
It's tough, man.
You lose total control over your bandwidth and everything.
Yep.
But we did hit a stride, and I feel like it was around Kubrick time. But
that was when, for me, it was Kafka and then Kubrick right in a row, I think. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
That was, for me, I know that I felt like I knew what I was doing starting with the Kafka episode. And I felt like the Kubrick episode was the first episode where I was like, hey, this is a fucking show.
There's really something here.
Well,
man, it's funny because we could do literally anything we want in terms of tracking our interests.
Right.
And roving as far, but we have to do a Philip Seymour Hoffman episode.
Yeah, we do. This is what's interesting to me, and I could be wrong. How has nobody ever done this shtick?
They have to have, but I think it gets lumped into NPR or BBC land where it's,
yeah,
now it's time for Biography Podcast, where we talk about life of acting legend Philip Seymour Hoffman,
who blazed
across the stage, you know what I'm doing, and opened the hearts of many with his wonderful, oh God.
Yeah, and they forget to mention that he was a heroin addict.
Right, of course. His notable struggles with addiction.
It's just one
cliche after the next, and it's not conversational.
Right.
But it's also way overproduced.
Right. I think part of the appeal. I don't know. I like the effort pod, but coming off conversational. I like that we do a bunch of preparation and then we just show up and we do it. We don't try to put sound effects in. We're not trying to, you know what I mean? It's not scripted. Depending on whose turn it is, we download as much information to our brain as we can. We have notes and we're trying to be as factually correct as possible. And we say when we're not being and all of that, but ultimately it's just a conversation. It's just that one of us happens to have spent the last couple of weeks obsessed with a particular topic. Right.
And what if you were hanging out with a buddy at the bar or at a coffee shop and you had a couple hours and you said to your friend, tell me everything you've learned about Stanley Kubrick in 2 weeks. And what's awful is that we are those guys where we've said this numerous times, we would do this anyway.
Exactly.
I mean, I just made a new pal today in the neighborhood. We're making friends with another young family here. And I just immediately started giving him ear beatings about all the movies I've watched. And he's like, oh, and I really like podcasts. And I'm like, really?
What?
He's like, yeah, I've got a podcast shirt on right now. I'm like, oh, well, that's so funny. I've got a podcast. And then, but it's a way to just jump, cut to the chase and talk about interesting things. That was so funny. Yeah. Cause this guy, his name also happens to be Kevin. And I don't want to get too far into it, but there was a little play date for my son and his little daughter. And we had a turntable. We have a turntable. This is a fun story. I don't think it's too personal. I think I can share it on the pod. And the little girl goes up to the turntable and she says, Michael. And I'm going, what? And they go, oh, Michael, you want to listen to Michael? And we had Talking Heads on. So my mind immediately goes to Michael Jackson. So I'm thinking, they must be MJ fans, right? No, it turns out that this dude is obsessed with and adores the music to Halloween and Michael Myers. And I'm cool. Like, okay, that is cool. Now we've got something to talk about. Cause I'm like, oh man, you know, I got a movie night with my buddies and we just watched Halloween 3 Season of the Witch. And he's like, he lit up, you know, he's like, oh, that's the best one.
right. Oh, that's so cool.
And, dude, and then I put on Over, which is this band that I really, really love. And they have an album called Scary Muzak, which is just them doing like the Over treatment to the Halloween soundtrack.
Oh, so nice.
And they're listening. They're going, this is awesome. And it's, you know, and now you've got fast friends.
Yes.
And it works because you've connected on a real human level. So I think that's something that this show has the possibility to do for people where it's like, have you heard this about Stanley Kubrick? Have you heard this about Annika Von and blah, blah, blah? It's good, man. It's like objectively a good thing to do.
Yeah, I've got a friend who really dug, I think listens to most of the episodes, really dug the Joyce episode and like shared it with his dad because he and his dad, I don't know that they do it anymore, but for the longest time they would sit down on Bloomsday and each of with a copy of Ulysses, and they would drink all day and read as much of Ulysses as they could. That was their Bloomsday tradition, right? And so we did that episode. And he was like, "That was really good, man. Like I really
yeah, Yeah. Yeah. They're going to learn a few things. Podcasts are a nice, easy format to listen to, right? It's low commitment. If you can shut us up and pause us at any time. Yeah. Like, thank God. Yeah. Right. Yeah. You can jump back, you can replay them. And it's a good format, and it's a good format for this. And even though we do say we're Art of Darkness, like, I don't think that we go too far out of our way to focus on the dark.
No,
I mean, really. We try to bring it, but we just don't ignore it.
Right. Right. I think that's the key. I was thinking about this the other day. It's a biography show that doesn't try to sugarcoat anything.
Right.
I would say. Yeah.
Yeah.
And when you're talking about the life of an artist, you know, what we kind of know is, and I've learned this when I try to put together my one people who follow me on Twitter or follow us on Twitter, I should say, I try to do a one tweet kind of Art of Darkness episode. And it's the life of an artist in 140 characters.
Yeah. And I like these tweets that you do, because we can go back to those, and any single one of those could be a subject.
We could do a full episode on any of them. Yeah,
any single person. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, what you usually find is, like, you'll read through the week, and, you know, I take maybe 10 minutes to put it together, and I scroll through Wikipedia, and there's always like, oh yeah, their father died when they were four and they had to, you know, live with an alcoholic aunt.
Life is gonna throw you so much suffering no matter what. It's really something.
Yeah, so yeah, follow, if you don't, well, I'm sure if you subscribe to this, you probably already follow Art of Dark Pod Twitter, but if you don't, you should. It's good.
Yeah, really. I mean, seriously, get into the Telegram. It's very casual. People are very chill in there, and we're trying to use it to get questions. It was nice that you brought three questions to this episode.
Yeah, that's helpful. I think. Yeah, that's cool.
We could maybe add that in as a bit of a feature too here. Maybe just floating it for the Lovecraft episode. You could throw that out on Twitter, throw it out on Telegram, see what comes back.
Yeah,
people like that. It's kind of like old school radio. Like, you like to hear your name on the radio.
Yeah, who doesn't, right? Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
All these poor, lonely Twitter anons hiding behind their avatars, laughing at us for putting our faces and names on Twitter. Oh, if I could only go back.
Oh, dude, yeah. Honestly, most of the people I interact with on Twitter are total anons. I have no idea who they are.
But I get frightened when I see a blue check show up on the timeline.
Yeah,
I go, oh no, is this the one that's finally going to get me wrecked?
Yeah, and I just found out that a guy I work with is on Twitter, and I was like, oh shit.
Is
he gonna find me?
Oh no,
I'm not hard to find at all.
Right,
like,
right.
Literally, my anyway. Whatever.
Well, I think, you know, again, I think we can kind of wind this down.
Yeah, for sure.
I think that was a fun episode to do. It was real easy. This has me excited again to jump into year two.
Yeah, reinvigorate ourselves here. Yeah,
and get excited about what it is we're doing. And I'm glad to hear that every bit of feedback we get is really exciting. It's nice to make something. We're both in our little home studios. We're putting something out into the world, and it's very cool to hear from people. So if you have any requests or any questions or thoughts, definitely reach out.
Yeah,
I'm going to cheat.
Yeah, we love the engagement. Patreon.
Yeah, I'm going to cheat because I don't think I'm going to get hit. So let's see here. I'm going to play something just directed to the mic from my phone, and I think that'll be it. And Brad, what's next? It's next up is Lovecraft.
H.P. Lovecraft, March 6th. Oh.
And then we have an interview that you're booking with somebody a scholar who wants to talk.
Yeah, we're bringing on a really well respected biographer. We're going to talk about Faulkner. So I'm excited about that. He hosts the Faulkner Day. He every day on Twitter he says what Faulkner did that day in a different year.
See, that's a level of scholarship and dedication to a single artist that I respect that so much.
Yeah.
I couldn't personally do it.
Yeah, me neither. But, I'm not quite. Spending a month or so with an artist is a good amount of time for me. Yeah.
Yeah, man. Yeah. All right. I'm going to play Ulver scary music into the mic for 45 seconds. Let's see how it sounds.